League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it's Brian behind the glass, and it's a Friday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, Brian behind the glass. So Bobby Slowick got fired. He's gone. He's no longer the offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans. Busy show. DJ Bieniemy is going to join us at 5. We'll talk a lot about the Bregman stuff that's going on. It's nuts. But Bobby Slowick has been sacked as the Houston Texans offensive coordinator. How are you taking the news, Blankers? How are you handling things?
I was very surprised just because of the fact that, like, when it happened. And, I think that we discussed it with the fact that as much as I thought he would be back, I thought that Strasser was a goner. And whether you believe the reports that he was going to retire or not, Strasser I didn't think was going to be back no matter what. But I thought that Bobby Slowick had done enough to kind of – and then the guys were all kind of having his back – that I thought that he had lived to see another year. And when this happened, I was like, whoa, does this mean that they already have someone in mind? Like, what's the plan here? Because it's one thing to say, okay – we talked about it yesterday. Like, you know, D'Amico knows that this is on him. So if he's going to go to bat for this guy and bring him back, well, then he better perform well or it's on him as well as it's on Slowick. So that means you better have someone better in mind, because we always say if you're going to make a replacement coaching, whether it's a head coach or not, once you make the decision to replace a guy and fire a guy, the guy you bring in better be better. And so now I'm curious, like, what is up their sleeve? What is D'Amico going to do and or Nick Caserio to try and do something better?
You think they did that, though, right?
Like, well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know, but I would assume so. You don't make this move, and especially now that you've done it, you know, I would think that you have your guy in mind already, and this is a move that you guys have already discussed, the decision's already made, and you probably already had discussions about. I hope to God that's the case.
Yeah, I don't think that they fired Slowick without thinking they were going to upgrade at the position. Like, I don't think teams operate that way, at least decent teams, at least good organizations. But, hey, you know, don't put anything past the Houston Texans. Shot Khan got his guy.
He did, but he got lucky to get his guy, because going all the way back to that press conference with Balky, that was so unstable. You're like, what are you doing?
I don't know if I would call that luck. Like, he fired the general manager to assure that he got his head coach.
But, Jeremy, there wasn't an assurance, because he pulled his name out of the hat for that reason. And then because he got that, you know, highest paid offensive coordinator in the league contract, there was no guarantees that then going back after the fact and saying, okay, now I'm going to fire the general manager to go get him. There wasn't any guarantee he was coming back.
I don't know. Agree to disagree on that one. But the Slowick thing to me, whenever I first saw the news, I was like, oh, okay, they actually did it. Because I've been on the fence with the Slowick hire, like, keeping him or moving on. For me, it's, hey, D'Amico's in the, you know, he's in the building with him all the time. You paid D'Amico to be the head coach to make these tough decisions. If D'Amico said, and because I've been on the fence about it, if D'Amico says, hey, we want Slowick back for another year, we don't think he is the issue, okay, let's see how it goes. But then we also reserve the right to criticize that decision. At the same time, if someone who works with Bobby Slowick every single day, it is in the same building as Bobby Slowick, if he's like, yeah, he's not the guy, we can do better, okay, well, then I'm going to back that up. Like, I trust D'Amico Ryans whenever it comes to that. Whenever I saw the news, it's like, okay, they did it. All right, let's move on. Okay, cool. Let's see what's next for the Houston Texans. So, like, I'm I hate to say that I'm excited about the move because somebody lost their job today, but I am excited about the move because I am excited about the direction of this offense. I'm excited to see if they can get better. I'm excited to see who they can bring in. Some of these names that exist excite me. And look, if you were to ask the question, why did Bobby Slowik get fired? I think the answer is pretty obvious. The offense went backwards. C.J. Stroud didn't look as good in year two as it did in year one. I think that they had more talent this year offensively than last year. Whoa, what are you talking about, Branham? You had all of the injuries that happened this year. Well, you had injuries last year too, and you did not have Diggs, and you did not have Mixon, and you were running out like a fifth-string offensive line. Last year, the Texans were 13th in the league in points scored. They were 19th this year. Last year, they were 12th in the league in total yards. They were 22nd this year. So before you say, well, they were the same, they didn't go – no, that's not true. They were six spots worse in points per game, and they were 10 spots worse in yards per game. So that's why Slowik got fired. They regressed. They went backwards as an offense. C.J. Stroud, who you thought at the end of last season could potentially be a top-five quarterback that could be an MVP someday, that could guide you to a Super Bowl someday, went backwards. And whenever you have young quarterbacks in the NFL, you have to do whatever it takes to make their life easier. And Bobby Slowik did not do that this year with C.J. Stroud.
Look, I'm gonna leave it in their hands and trust that, you know, the plan is going to be exactly that. The plan is going to be to take this offense back to a level that we saw and more from year one, that there's going to be a lot of improvements. And then I'll hold judgment until I see who they bring in and how they handle it. Because I don't think Jerod Johnson, under Bobby Slowik and in this system, and he's never called plays before, I don't think that he's going to come in and have all the answers. I think he's going to make mistakes too. I think he'll be on a learning curve. And I don't think this team, based on where the defense is, how quickly they've turned this whole thing around and the direction that they're trying to get to, I'm not sure that that's the answer. So, you know, and I also don't think that recycled guys like Frank Reich or Doug Peterson, I don't think those guys are probably the answer. But I'm curious, I'm interested, I'm trusting, and I want to see what they do.
How many of those guys are better than Slowik? Because, like you say, the answer, the goal is not really to, like, have the answer. I mean, you're trying to get better at the position, right? So, like I would take Doug Peterson over Bobby Slowik. I would fire Slowik for Doug Peterson.
Maybe it's because it was Trevor Lawrence, and maybe with the weapons and a quarterback like C.J. Stroud, maybe Doug Peterson still has it in him. I don't think Frank Reich does. I think the game's starting to pass him by. I think Frank Reich was, you know, an offensive mind when the game was at a different level, at a different position than it is now offensively. I think that Jerod Johnson, to me, like I said, I think that he'll make mistakes in his first.
I asked specifically about Peterson, though. Like, would you take Peterson or Slowik?
I would consider Peterson a slight upgrade.
Yeah, I would too. Like, I would have Peter. Like, if you gave me the choice to offensive coordinate my team next year between Bobby Slowik and Doug Peterson, I'm taking Doug Peterson. Frank Reich, no thanks. Plus, you know, he had that Buffalo Bill game against the Oilers way back in the day. He can never be employed in Houston, no matter what. Even if he was Bill Belichick on the offensive side of the ball, I don't want him in Houston. I don't want him in Houston. The comeback is enough for that. We'll get into some of these candidates in a little bit. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, because people are already throwing out names and curious to see if these names would move the needle on any of you. Texter says, to Blanker's point, the new OC has already signed and will be announced within the next three business days. I doubt they've been signed. They might already have like a handshake agreement, under-the-table agreement, but I don't think that anything has been signed already. Why do you think D'Amico made the decision to fire Slowik?
I just think that it was too little too late. I think that if people were saying, oh, they, and listening to what Joe Mixon said, if you want to believe that they fixed it, they just fixed it at the end of the season. I just don't buy that. Like, you didn't make any major changes or have anybody new in the building that said that you couldn't have made these changes throughout the year and found whatever you found late in the season. I just think that there were too many things that stacked up, and the stuff that we don't even know or see led D'Amico to believe that, yeah, we can't do this for another year.
Yeah, it is funny that we were talking about that Mixon quote yesterday.
Yep.
Like, oh, we got it all figured out after we lost on Christmas. And, you know, we played really well in week 17 or week 18 against a Titans team that wanted the number one pick. We played well in the wild card round. You didn't even do great in the divisional round. Maybe you moved the ball. Maybe you racked up some yards, but you didn't score a bunch of points. And then Mixon's like, yeah, we got it figured out. D'Amico fired the offense coordinator. It is also interesting that C.J. Stroud was like, yeah, you know, the continuity would be good. The same language 3 years in a row would be good. So, like, to me, that shows you the courage that D'Amico had, quite frankly, was that you have Stroud that's kind of vouching for him. You have Mixon that is vouching for him. I remember Nick Caserio, whenever he was asked about, you know, Slowik potentially being fired midseason, and Slowik, like, went to bat for him. He's like, he's a dang good general manager. Like, even that stuff. Like, I don't think it was an easy decision. Plus, D'Amico has been boys with Slowik forever. Mm-hmm. Like, they go way back to San Francisco. So, to me, it shows that D'Amico's willing to be courageous and show some cojones. Like, even a decision that might be difficult, like, he is willing to make. I think we talked about this earlier in the week. Like, will D'Amico be the type of head coach that is too loyal to a fault because he's a nice guy, he's not cutthroat? I think he dispelled that and put all of that to rest today.
Yeah, I think we talked about it as late as yesterday where you know, I said, look, at a certain point, D'Amico has to either show that you're either going to stick with the loyalty and then it's on you. It's not just on the fact that the offensive coordinator was less than. If there's enough of a discussion internally to say we should make a change at OC and you fight for your guy, then it's not just on your guy if he doesn't do it next year. Now it's on both of you. And to your point about, as a leader, as a guy that knows no matter what the relationships are, I got to do what's right for this team and this organization. Because I think it leads more credence to what we brought up yesterday, too, that Mixon, CJ, others, the writing was on the wall. Maybe discussions were even taking place to where the guys sounded like they were trying to make a last-ditch effort to back their guy.
Yeah, and it didn't work.
It didn't. Nope.
I like that from I want that from my head coach, though. Like, I need my head coach to make the best decision for the team. Like, I don't want him playing favorites. I don't want him playing the loyalty game. I look at these coaches' positions as really like any position on the football team. Whenever you feel like you can upgrade at left guard, you upgrade at left guard. You move on from your previous left guard, and you bring in your next left guard because you feel like you can get better. I feel like you should look at that with the offense coordinator spots as well, defensive coordinator spots as well. If you feel like you can upgrade at a position within your organization, you do that. Even if he's your boy, even if you're loyal to him, even if it's going to be difficult. So I applaud that. Like, if D'Amico Ryans is here for the next 10 years, this is something that we can look back on and be like, well, he's always going to do what's in the best interest of the team over his relationships. And that encourages me if he is here for a long
time. Listen, I think it's a good trait because you and I both know that throughout coaching, there are guys that just can't. They can't stop. They can't stop their loyalties towards their guys. We've seen it with head coaches and others. When pressed by ownership or a general manager to say, you've got to make these changes to keep your job across all sports, some guys can, some guys can't. And the loyalty card is too big for them to face doing something differently. And then they end up paying the price. So, yeah, I agree with you. Credit to D'Amico for being able to make a very tough decision probably.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. We'll get your thoughts on the Bobby Slowik being sacked today by D'Amico Ryans. What is next? Who's the next offensive coordinator for the Texans? Do you have to include C.J. Stroud in this process as well? We'll talk some Strohs a little bit later. Bregman, offseason. NFL is going nuts today. Pete Carroll has landed a new job. Shad Khan got his man like a gangster. What a gangster move by Shad Khan. And then DJ Bienname will be joining us a little bit later as well. 713-780-ESPN. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitter at ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Brian at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Who do you want to be the next OC in Houston? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN975 and ESPN925.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right. Texans have moved on from offensive coordinator Bobby Slowik. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRNP listener line. Julian, you're in the highs with the Bees. What's up? Julian,
hey, what's
up?
Killer Bees. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear me.
What's up, Julian? Go ahead.
Okay, cool. This guy, he's – see if you guys can guess his name. He was just recently coordinated with the UCLA Bruins. He was a Heisman finalist in the 1990s.
Are you talking about Eric
Bieniemy?
Eric Bieniemy. Yeah. No, what do you guys think of him?
I'll pass. Real quick. I'll pass.
Pass? Really?
Yeah. I mean, me personally,
Jeremy. I mean, the guy is credited for the Jet Chips Wasp play in the Chiefs' first Super Bowl. I mean, look.
Who do you think was calling plays, Andy Reid or Eric Bieniemy?
Exactly.
It's a mix of both. It's a mix of both.
When it mattered most, Andy Reid sure did look. If you go back and look at the tapes, when it mattered most, it looked like Andy Reid was calling in the plays.
Right. You got right there. But at the same time, all ex-Chiefs players, Shady McCoy, Travis Kelce, Mahomes, guys like John Ross, who actually ended up quitting because of this, the Chiefs had one of the toughest, if not the toughest, off-season workout programs in the NFL. And that was designed by Bieniemy himself. And I feel like a player's coach like Bieniemy would work perfectly under D'Amico Ryan's offense, or just his scheme alone as a player's coach association, and just being able to change the culture or help D'Amico change the culture. And mind you, like I said, he was a Heisman finalist as a running back. He's been a running back coach for over 30 years, from UCLA to Colorado, where he played college ball, and with the Chiefs. Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce, I'm not a fan of Damian Pierce like he used to in his rookie year, but I feel like Bieniemy could easily turn those two into one of the best duos in the league, on top of helping Stroud unlock his game.
All right, appreciate the call, Julian. Julian's lobbing in a vote for Eric Bieniemy, throwing Eric Bieniemy's name in the hat.
He stacked up his backup stats to bring to the table. But look, he wasn't great when he was in Washington. He didn't get head coaching jobs when everybody thought he was a shoo-in for those. He wasn't great at UCLA, and I know they've got issues as a program. But overall, and like we talked about, I don't think either one of us thought that he was the offensive mind and the play caller behind any of the Chiefs' success. Andy Reid, as long as he's the head coach, is always going to do that. And I think in a different situation than what he's been in previously too, if you want Eric Bieniemy to work with his coach hand in hand, it would help to have an offensive-minded head coach so that you could have two heads working on it, you know, whenever you were getting into it. D'Amico, I think it's even more pressing that you can't have a guy that you have any uncertainties about because he's a defensive coach.
I'm out on Eric Bieniemy. The whole strength program was designed by the offensive coordinator and not the strength and conditioning coach. I find that difficult to believe.
It feels far-fetched.
And then the Chiefs have won without Eric Bieniemy. So, like, the whole, like, we can have the argument of whenever Bieniemy was the OC with the Chiefs, and the Chiefs, I think, won two Super Bowls with him, who was responsible for the offense? I would go Andy Reid before I go Eric Bieniemy. I would give Mahomes the credit before I go Eric Bieniemy. Kelce would be in the mix. Bieniemy maybe makes the top five. But then they still won and have continued to win without Eric Bieniemy. And Bieniemy, since he has left, has had two failures of stops. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm completely out on Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. Yeah, I just don't see it.
Brian, did you have something you wanted to
say? Yeah, I'm out on Eric Bieniemy. Like you guys mentioned, he clearly seems to be, as evidenced by his lack of success in Washington, UCLA, a product of Andy Reid basically propping him up and trying to help him out. Clearly a guy that Andy Reid likes and wanted to help promote his career, but he hasn't done well on his own. I give Bieniemy credit for going out and trying to do it on his own in Washington, because if he'd been able to turn Sam Howell into a thing, then he would have gotten that credit. And then it wasn't just Andy Reid with the Chiefs' success, but that wasn't the case. And I really think this next GM, whoever the Texans hire, needs to be somebody that D'Amico could just hand the keys over to the offense and basically close that door. It's like, you handle that. I'm going to handle the head coaching and the defense, and not be someone like Bieniemy, who's clearly seems to be, whether it be like he's obviously not interviewing well, maybe he has some interpersonal issues, obviously not trusted to completely run an offense on his own because Andy Reid did it. He wouldn't be the sort of guy that I'd be willing to just hand the keys to the offense to and walk away and then go handle my own side of the ball and the head coaching duties. And that's really new who the Texans need. I don't think Bieniemy is that guy.
Let's talk more about these interpersonal things that Eric Bieniemy has.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, that was just, I mean, that was part of the report. There were some reports. I guess they kind of got touched on there when Julian called in and mentioned John Ross quitting football over the difficulties or the toughness of their strength and their workout programs. But there was talk and chatter that some of the players didn't love Bienemy, that he was a little too harsh on them times, and Andy Reid had to pull him back in. Now, I mean, it's just rumor and innuendo, but that was chatter that's been heard.
On the text line, 713-780-ESPN, maybe Bobby refused to fire the offensive line coach, so he got fired, ? I don't think Bobby's going to bat for Chris Strouser to say, like, if you fire him, you're firing me. I don't think that Slowik would do that. Plus, I think that there was some writing on the wall here. We've discussed it. Like, DeMeco, really throughout the back half of the year, was kind of like, yeah, you know, the offense isn't playing great. But then also this week, like, he had that Monday end-of-season press conference. He opened up the press conference by saying, I know I'm going to get a lot of questions about my staff. I'm taking the week to decide, and I'll figure it out later. Okay, that's kind of odd. He didn't do that last year, and then he does that this year. And then whenever he was asked about Slowik, he gave a pretty quick answer about, yeah, I think he improved, and he's doing a fine job or something like that. I don't even think he said he's doing a fine job. I think I saw improvement out of him is what DeMeco said. And whenever he had that press conference, I mentioned that it dropped my confidence of Bobby Slowik being back from 75-25 to 50-50. So the writing was on the wall a bit there. I don't think that Slowik was like, oh, if you fire Strouser, you fire me. I guess I don't know if that's like could it have happened. Maybe. I just highly doubt it.
I'm with you. And you were on that, and you did say that. And I think that's why when the further we started talking about it, it almost seemed like when we were playing the Mixon comments and we had the CJ comments prior to that, that it seemed like they already knew something. It seemed like it was like not completely a eulogy, but like that they were actually trying to do whatever they could to see if they could change a decision.
Yeah, so I think the writing on the wall was there. 713-780-ESPN. Who is responsible for the culture of the offense? The head coach or the offensive coordinator?
The structure of the offense, did they say?
You said culture.
Culture.
Culture of the offense. I would say in this case, because you have a defensive-minded head coach, the overall locker room culture is DeMeco, the culture of the offense, and we heard from Damian Pierce, who talked about how Slowik ran his meetings and you know, how he got everybody fired up and, you know, everything he did with the offense. I think it's definitely the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I think it's case by case. I think that it varies based on the team. Like, if you have an Andy Reid team, I think it's Andy Reid. If you have DeMeco Ryans, I think it's the offensive coordinator. But even some defensive-minded coaches will get in on the offense a little bit. Like, you see Tomlin do it a bit on Hard Knocks. Like, Harbaugh for the Ravens is somebody who's willing to – I mean, even the Harbaugh for the Chargers. So I think it's case by case. For a DeMeco team, I think it's more the offensive coordinator than it is the head coach. What was the bigger detriment to the Texans' offense last season, Bobby Slowik or poor offensive line play? Sacks, hits, penalties.
I think I would say it's the offensive line. I mean, we can all question that we pointed out where Bobby made mistakes, but I think that it's all connected. And I think that it starts with the offensive line, but there, like we talked about, there's plenty of blame to go around. CJ gets blame, Slowik gets blame, Strouser gets blame, but I think it all starts with the play of the offensive line.
Yeah, I think that the offensive line was the bigger detriment than, like, play calling. But you could also say that Bobby Slowik, as the head of the snake, as the leader and CEO of the offense, should be the one that's responsible for improving the offensive line. So I would say that those two things correlate. Like, if you're getting poor offensive line play, I can point my finger at the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I don't think you can separate those two things, because how long did it take for the Texans to show that they had any answer to teams running stunts and twists at them? I mean, week 9, week 10, it was deep into the season before it felt like they had any grasp on how to fix something that teams were throwing against them week after week. I mean, I think part of what got Slowik fired, other than what you mentioned in the first segment of the show with the points and yards and the overall play of C.J. Stroud dropping off, was he was just slow to adjust to everything. The offensive line with the communication and the twists and stunts took a long time to improve. And we also saw in the Chiefs game and their divisional round loss where he kept putting Dalton Schultz, you know, on Karlaftis. And one sack wasn't enough. He did it again and did it again. Like, Slowik feels like he's just slower than he should be to adjust the things happening. And that's got to play a factor in DeMeco firing.
I see what you did there.
I mean, remember the Grenard game, too. he's doing the same thing. He was putting. I mean, JJ. Yeah. JJ went out. And was
week,
like,
that's week three.
That's right.
And he's still doing it.
It was
in the
all season because JJ came out after the season and said, "Guys, let's just be very clear. You cannot block defensive ends with tight ends."
Yeah, especially Benjamin
Dalton
Albright.
Schultz.
Yeah, he's tough.
I mean, one thing called George Kittle, but Dalton Schultz.
Tough. I've called Bobby Slowik binary Bobby because I feel like he's very robotic. Like he draws up
one,
the game
zero,
plan.
Zero,
and that
zero,
is
zero,
the
one.
Game plan. Yeah. Like there's not a whole lot of like feel from Bobby. Like I've been on that for a while. Like I've wanted him to go up to the booth to see if maybe he could get more feel. And I saw his tweet earlier that kind of reminded me of binary Bobby, Benjamin Albright, who is kind of, you know, he's had his days. He's had his bad days as an NFL reporter. Now he does radio in Denver. But he tweeted that Slowik, this is like from league sources and stuff, Slowik didn't adjust his offense much from year one to year two, and opposing defensive coordinators picked up on tendencies and specifically blocking. The Texans believe that's a large part of the regression of Stroud this season. Like, we watch every single one of these games a lot. I think that's 100% accurate. Like, mm-hmm. He didn't have feel. Like, he didn't have the good vibes. He had a tough time adjusting. Whenever he was asked about adjusting, he's like, well, I think adjusting is overrated. And it's like, well, that makes sense because you're not good at it. So, like, it to me, that was his biggest hang up as an offensive coordinator, because I think he's a good game planner. I think he's very smart. I think he had the offense ready to go, ready to play. But then whenever somebody gave him a counterpunch, he had a tough time countering that counterpunch.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think that you're right. I think that we also kind of talked about, in terms of the way he regressed in year two, it's just the feel sometimes when they had things rolling and the last thing they needed was a gadget play, and the gadget play kept happening. And, you know, you kind of have that happen in a couple of games, to Brian's point.
Joe Mixon's halfback pass.
Yeah, and you're like, you know what? I probably shouldn't be doing that like in those spots the way I have. But when you can't get a feel, you're still doing it all the way up to what the one, the Mixon halfback pass that ends up being a fumble by Mixon when it goes haywire. I think that he had a lot of innovative offensive ideas. I think he had a lot of things that worked. But I think that there were other areas, maybe it's because he was a first-time coordinator, I don't know, but there were other things where he definitely had weakness.
Yeah, what you mentioned there at the front of that setup there, Jeremy, reminded me of something DJ told us earlier in the season about not changing the offense from year to year and basically opposing defensive coordinators having a complete grasp on how to mix things up. And it was the fact that with their blocking scheme, if you overloaded one side, the center or whoever was calling the protection would slide protection that way, you know, left, loogie, loogie, or whatever the code is to go right, something else with an R. And you can line up guys on one side, get the Texans to shift their protection that way, then bring the blitz off the other side and get a free rusher. And they would do it time after time after time. And Texans, and specifically Bobby Slowik, were very slow to adjust to it.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. Who do you want as the next offensive coordinator for the Texans? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
You found the killer bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Bobby Slowik sacked today. Who do you want to be the new OC of the Texans? What do you make of this move? 713-780-ESPN. My sauces told me that D'Amico made this move after meeting with Cal McNair today. He was like, Mr. McNair, what do you think about our offense this year and us going backwards? Do you think we should make a move? And this is what the owner had to say to D'Amico.
Never, never quit.
And then D'Amico heard those inspiring words and fired Bobby Slowik as soon as he left the office. That's what my sauces are telling me. 713-780-ESPN. Not sure if y'all touched on this, but do y'all think it was a D'Amico Ryan's decision to fire Slowik or Caserio or both?
I think it was a little of both. I think it definitely falls on the shoulders of D'Amico to make the final call. But I'm sure Nick was involved in conversations. I'm sure he gave his 2 cents worth. And I'm sure that it was an internal discussion that wasn't just D'Amico.
I have no idea, right? Like, it'd be us totally guessing. We'll listen to off-season sound and see if we can find some clues to try to get some information on it. I hope that it was all D'Amico. And it's, I have no problem if Caserio was a sounding board and he listened and like, hey, this is what I think. But I hope that Caserio does not have any input with this coaching staff. And he probably does. I mean, there are guys that are on this staff who were held over from the previous staff, Frank Ross, who I'm cool with. But then you had Ben McDaniels, who's Josh McDaniels' brother, who's on this staff, who was on this staff prior to D'Amico Ryan. So he probably has some influence, if I had to guess. But I would hope he doesn't. Like, I think the head coach should have 100% control of who they hire. So that's where I'm at on that. I hope he didn't, but it wouldn't shock me if he did.
I think that's essentially, I mean, we're saying the same. I think that it's D'Amico's call to make, but I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that Caserio had input. Because
yeah, I just want there to be 0% influence. That's where I'm at. And I doubt that's the case,
yeah,
but I would like it to have 0% influence. Like, I think you hire a head coach, and then you get out of the head coach's way, and you ask how you should help. How can I help you, head coach? That's the way that it should be. I don't want Caserio making coaching decisions. You know why? I saw Caserio hire David Culley and Lovie Smith, and even though it was a rebuild and like a bridge until you finally got D'Amico, he also hired David Culley hoping he would be a two-year bridge, and it was so bad that he had to fire him after year one.
See, and you can also hope that, hey, maybe, you know, he gets offensive linemen wrong, so he reads the head coach wrong, but maybe he knows coordinators. And I'm kidding. I think the bigger thing is when you listen to him in his weekly chats with Vandermeer and John Harris, he's so into every single play and every tendency and all the things, both with the opponent and with the team. And because of the fact that he has the title that he has, again, I don't know. I just have the feeling that he is definitely letting his input be known on a regular basis.
Yeah, I feel like he's taking a backseat more with D'Amico.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
I wish that it was 100%, but there's no way of really knowing that.
Mm-hmm.
Texter says Bobby was leaving either way. Where's he going? Where's Bobby going?
Are they saying that because of the fact that he's possibly going to get another interview, or he was supposed to get another interview, and that's not going to happen because Jacksonville hired a coach? Like, I think it's a pipe dream to think that Bobby Slowick would be leaving for a head coaching job. I don't know that anybody's – maybe someone hires him as a coordinator. I don't know.
I doubt it. Like, I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of where around the league. Would Aaron Glenn consider him?
No. He might consider Gerard. He's not considered – I don't think he would consider Bobby Slowick.
Then
I don't think he's getting an offense coordinator job. Not this year.
Would Pete Carroll?
I don't know.
I don't think he really runs.
My
what
money
wants
is on Slowick not getting an offensive coordinator job.
I would bet the same.
So I don't see the where. What is Slowick doing? Like, he was leaving either way. I don't believe that for a second. 713-780 ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Chris, you're in the Hive. What's going on, Chris?
Hey guys, good afternoon. Real quick, Jeremy, good luck tomorrow with the Kansas Jayhawks. This will be a true test for the Cougars.
You should be listening.
If they can hit
Chris.
Some three pointers, they'll win. And it's not the same old Kansas team anyway, you know. But it'll be a good test for the Cougars. I'm glad this happened. Texans Nation's been calling this for all year, right, guys? I mean, we've been, you know, complaining about Bobby all year long and his play calling. I heard today that Bobby ran the ball on first and second down more than any other team in the NFL. I mean, that's very, very, very predictable. So, yeah, of course, CJ is going to, you know, be on third down throwing the ball because we didn't get much on first and second. So he's going to be, rushed and very predictable. So I'm glad that Bobby got fired, and I think this also says a lot about the head coach that he's not afraid to make these moves. I mean, I think there's probably some pressure during the season, Jeremy and Joel, about firing the offensive line coach, and Bobby didn't want to do that. So that was my point earlier, was I think that during the season a change needed to be made. So I'm looking forward to the future of the offense, and maybe Chip Kelly. What do you think about Chip Kelly, guys? Have a good weekend.
Thanks for the call, Chris. Look, I think from the standpoint of firing Strasser in the middle of the season, I don't know if, you know, we don't know. So as much as I have my opinions, Jeremy's normally pretty quick to say, we don't know. And that's true. We don't know unless we have got some sources right there in the middle of what's going on behind the scenes. And even if you did, they probably weren't going to tell you what's going on. We'll never know. But I'm not going to say that that was on Bobby Slowick in the middle of the season to fire Strasser.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of firing coaches in the middle of the year unless they're like tearing down the team, like they're a cancer. I'm not a fan of that. So I have no problem with them keeping Strasser throughout the year. I like the idea of Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly would intrigue me. If they came out Monday and like, yeah, Chip Kelly is the new offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans, I would be excited. Chip, like, just won the national championship as a play caller. He has NFL experience, has NFL head coaching experience, has a relationship with D'Amico Ryans, coached him whenever he was the head coach in Philly. I would be happy about Chip Kelly.
Yeah, I would definitely be excited about Chip Kelly, because when you watched the innovative ways that he worked in some of his play calling and stuff like that too, there's nothing that makes me believe the game's passed him by. I was a little concerned when he left UCLA. We didn't know exactly what was going on there. And then I was like, you know, he's going back to OC and he's got all the talent in the world. I hope that, you know, he can really be innovative. I'll take Chip Kelly.
Maybe Slowick can ask Kingsbury for the hangout spots in Thailand. I don't think that Slowick has the dog in him that Cliff Kingsbury does.
I think he's got the game of Cliff Kingsbury.
I don't think Binary Bobby has the game, the sauce, any of that Cliff does. You think Pete Carroll's better than Bobby Slowick? Question mark. I have a bridge to sell you. I really don't understand that text.
When did we ever say that Bobby was better than?
I think he might have misheard you whenever you said like the Raider thing.
Well, I think someone said would Pete Carroll hire Bobby? But that was the question. It was never that Bobby was better than Pete. Yeah,
no.
I think the
texter says you think Pete is better than Bobby. Yes, I do think that Pete is better than Bobby.
Yeah, definitely better than Bobby.
He says I have a bridge to sell you. Okay, well I think Pete is better than Bobby, and give me the information on that bridge because I don't think I'm the only one that would think that.
Yeah, one guy has titles in college football and the NFL plus multiple title game appearances in both college football and the NFL, and the other is Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, well, Carroll has what? He's one of four coaches that has a Super Bowl championship and a college football championship. It's one of four, one of three. I think it's four now. And then Bobby Slowick worked at Pro Football Focus. So, yeah, give me Pete Carroll on that one.
It couldn't hang in Thailand.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Willie, you're in the Hive. What's going on, Willie?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. When D'Amico went to talk to Cal today, he should have went up there and asked him to fire Nick, because he the one bought in every one of them sorry offensive linemen. And the next guy they get to call the plays for CJ, they need to dumb it down even more for him. Just let him play in the box and either run or pass the ball.
Are you saying CJ has a low S2, Willie?
Excuse me?
You're saying that CJ Stroud has a low S2, that they need to dumb it down for him?
Well, I didn't say that, but that's what I meant.
Okay. Appreciate the call, Willie.
I didn't say that, but that's what I meant.
I got to say that as a drop. That was good,
yeah,
Willie.
I was just going to say, you got to rack that.
Rack them.
Phenomenal.
Good job.
Apparently, D'Amico, my sources also tell me that D'Amico did ask Cal McNair about Nick Caserio, and when he asked him, can I fire Nick Caserio, Cal had this to say.
Never, never quit.
Which D'Amico said, okay, I guess that means I can't fire him.
Cal is kind of like Groot in that he only says never, never quit. And you have to interpret the meaning of that never, never quit.
Or maybe to like the texture's point, he wasn't going to quit and get another job, so you're going to have to fire him.
Like, I don't think that the offensive line players are bad, though. Like, I feel like the scheme just did not fit them. Like, I think Laramie Tunsil obviously is an above-average offensive lineman. I think that Titus Howard's an above-average offensive lineman. Maybe Blake Fisher wasn't in his rookie year. I think he can be. Was Juice Scruggs an above-average offensive lineman? Probably not this year, but could a scheme that fits him better make him above-average? Possibly. Jared Patterson, maybe. I don't think that the offensive line, from a talent perspective, is as bad as they played. So that's why I think you can point the finger at Slowick. And my number one offseason goal was to make this offensive line better by any means necessary. I think today was mean number one that it was necessary.
I think that, yeah, we're all on the same page that that was priority one. I think that the thing is when we're talking about the offensive linemen, the biggest backup to what you were saying, too, is at the end of the season, you found your five best linemen. They were adequate. They weren't great, but they were adequate. And it took too long. And for people to start saying, all of a sudden, we figured out at the end of the season, and we figured, you know, in the offensive line, they, to their point, D'Amico even said after the Charger game, they played better. We really were pleased with the way they played. Well, it took all year, and you finally figured out five guys that could play.
And you also had eight sacks in the last game that you played. Yep. And yes, four of them happened on that, like basically the last drive when you were down multiple possessions. But four still too many. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's start to toss around some names. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Follow ESPN Houston on social media at ESPN 97.5.
You're saying that C.J. Stroud has a low S2, that they need to dumb it down for him?
Yeah, I didn't say that, but that's what I meant.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Like, you know, I always admire Willie. Willie will give you the truth. He will give you his truth.
It was fantastic.
It was very good. 713-780-ESPN. Ocho says there's only one or two offensive line projections in the first round, even if you like drafting offensive line, which I don't. Might as well draft Matthew Golden. Ocho's on the Matthew Golden train. But he was on the Brian Thomas train last year. So I got to listen to what Ocho speaks about wide receivers.
Yeah, I just don't like them drafting. Their track record drafting, I'd rather they go out in free agency and find themselves some offensive linemen. I just don't trust Nick drafting offensive linemen.
Well, Golden's a receiver.
I know that. I'm just saying, to the point of anybody asking about the draft and who's in there, an offensive lineman that could possibly be available, I'd rather they stay away from drafting offensive linemen. Trade, free agency.
Yeah, I agree. But Ocho is talking about a receiver. Okay. I think Laramie Tunsil's a bad leader for a unit that should be dogs. I think it's a fair point. We don't know what he's like in the locker room. Usually teammates speak highly of him, but like, does he have enough dog to be that left tackle and the leader in a, you know, a unit where you need him to be dogs? Maybe, maybe not. Can you say sauce a few more times, please, Boomer? Sauce, sauce, sauce. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Vera, you're in the Hive. What's up, Vera?
Hey, guys. I appreciate you letting me call in, as always. We'll start by tossing a couple of names for the offensive coordinator, and then as a result, the associated offensive line coach, since Strasser and Popovich got let go today. Nick Cayley, he's the Titans and passing game coordinator with the Rams. Or Dave Ragone, I think he's the quarterback's coach with the Rams. I definitely appears that the league has caught up to the Shanahan system, you know, because there have been a lot of Shanahan system hires. So defensive coaches had a lot of chance to study the Shanahan system. But I think maybe the McVay system is doing okay for now. So I think Nick Cayley or Dave Ragone, who was drafted by the Houston Texans, 2003 third-round pick. So I think either of them would be a decent candidate for the offensive coordinator position. And the offensive line coach that should come with them would be the assistant offensive line coach of the Rams. That's Zach Cromer, son of Bill's offensive line coach, Aaron Cromer. Wanted to kind of get your thoughts on it. I'll hang up and listen.
I want to say that the Rams quarterback's coach is up for OC for one of the jobs that was just filled. Dave Ragone, I think, went to Louisville. I remember him as a quarterback. I didn't know that he
was. Look at you at the pool.
Yeah.
Lefty out of Louisville.
Yeah. I didn't know that he was in the league.
He was a Texan.
I know. I'm saying as a coach.
Yeah, I didn't either. I haven't heard that name in a while.
No, I haven't either. And yeah, I was. So I don't know enough to say on that. But I want to say that his quarterback coach from the Rams, I believe, I can't remember which coach was. Maybe it was Aaron Glenn that was considering him as their OC.
Yeah, I saw that too. Kaylee has been rumored to be the OC in New York. So Gerard's been rumored to go there too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it comes down to those two guys. I don't know. Like, Vera's ideal sounds good. Like, it does sound like they want to get away from the Shanahan stuff. Like, you moved on from Slowick, who was a Shanahan staple. So maybe they are going to move on from that. I wouldn't hate Nick Kaylee. I think Nick Kaylee would make some sense. He interviewed for the offensive coordinator job in the past too with Houston, and he has Nick Caserio ties because he used to be in New England, which some people might feel a certain kind of way about that. They might not like that idea. One of the things we haven't mentioned was that they did fire their assistant offensive line coach Popovich in this as well. Strouser, of course, fired. Slowick, of course, fired. But also, like, there were rumors. I think Aaron Wilson said it. It's another mess. Said that Popovich could be considered to take over for Chris Strouser, and then he got it today. He also was one of three coaches that were sacked.
Yeah, we weren't sure if he was going to be back with the Spurs this year, and then he gets fired from the Texans. I mean,
No.
Yeah, that's the thing that surprised me the most, though, was that you're right. Aaron Wilson, when he mentioned that, I was like, I don't want them to hire internal for the line coach. And you and I had that discussion the other day, and I was like, I wouldn't like that. But maybe that's a clearer sign that, hey, it's a full cleaning house, and we got to go in a different direction. And
they didn't fire Gerard, though. They didn't fire Gerard. I think Gerard is possibly the next offensive coordinator of the Texans. Like,
he's definitely in the running.
20-25% maybe. Sarge tweeted earlier, according to a source, we're supposed to have two sources in journalism, he said, according to a source, hearing that the interest from the Jets and Gerard is the reason for letting Bobby go sooner, they want to be the first ones to interview him. So,
yeah, I was going to mention the fact that the Jets wanted to speak to him at least probably stops you short of firing him and figuring out what you have in-house before he walks out the door.
I know Gerard personally, so I don't know if I want him to be the offensive coordinator for the Texans because I don't want to have to criticize Gerard. I would do it, obviously, but I'd rather not. I also, like, bigger like topic, no one cares about my personal relationship with him, but bigger topic is, like, you had a first-time offensive coordinator with Slowick, and, like, it didn't really go well. You're firing him after two seasons. Like, I want a guy with some experience, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking along the lines of, I'm looking at Kevin O'Connell, I'm looking at McVay, I'm looking, if they're getting away from the Shanahan staff, that's one thing. But then I'm just not so sure that I'm sold on taking a quarterback coach, a receivers coach, someone that has worked in an offensive system under one of those guys and saying they're ready to just plug and play and be better than what you had, because we've seen Bobby as a first-time coordinator make mistakes. I'm a little leery of the fact you're going to have another first-time coordinator and they're bound to make mistakes, as opposed to a guy that's been there, done that can just come in and have more of a command.
Yeah, I mean, I like Gerard Johnson, obviously, you know, humble guy from the area, but I don't want another, and it's not just a Gerard Johnson thing, but I don't want another first-time play caller as the Texans OC. They're going into likely the last year of Stroud on a rookie contract before he gets this big deal going into year four. You're going to be going into a season where you're reshuffling wide receivers with Tank Dell out for the year and the uncertainty of Stephon Diggs. You're probably reshuffling the offensive line, and Stroud took a step backwards. I don't want to hand that over and fixing that, handing that the job of fixing that over to a guy who's also learning on the job in a way. I'd prefer someone, you know, that's been here, done that, has experience calling it. And I think my first choice would be Chip Kelly.
I have a guy that has OC experience that I think would check all your boxes, Brian.
Okay.
I'll tell you who it is next. 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a minute for Allstate Siding and Windows. Look, I bought my house a little over a year ago, and my wife and I were looking for ways to make it more energy efficient. And the first thing I thought about was Allstate Siding and Windows and getting new windows on the house. Boy, are we glad we did, because we called Allstate Siding and Windows. They came to the rescue by coming to the house with a free, no obligation walkthrough. And they started suggesting exactly what products and what kind of look and feel we could consider for what we wanted to do with the house. And in no time at all, we had it figured out. We got the right windows for our house. The energy bills went down. The curb appeal went up. And we were so thankful that Allstate Siding and Windows were there, accessible, and able to help us out. They can help you, too. Right now, they've got deals going on. 30% off all windows, $2,500 off a siding job. Free estimates are available. All it takes is a phone call. Just pick up the phone and call 832-204-1936. 832-204-1936. Call them. They will come to you and tell you exactly how they can help, the products that they would suggest based on the year and the design of your house, and all the different ways that they will be effective for you, both in the curb appeal, but more so the energy efficiency and how they can help you on a month-to-month basis. They're fantastic. Family-owned and operated for almost 50 years. Mary holds down the fort back at the headquarters. Her brother is the guy that actually came out and did our free estimate and walkthrough and made the suggestions that have made a difference for us. They have discounts for senior citizens and military, too, as well as first responders. Why don't you go to their website and see from front doors to siding and windows all the different products that they offer. AllstateSidingAndWindows.com will get you there, but make sure you get that free estimate just to see what they can do for you, because it costs you nothing. 832-204-1936. AllstateSidingAndWindows.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.